This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. Zucchino and Weeks in studio. It's really my fault, Bob, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've been here.
Yeah, your travel schedule this early part of 2017. It's 2017, right?
Yeah.
I got that correct?
No, we're not through it yet.
It's been a little insane. Only a few weeks ago, though, as we were talking off air, once May rolls around, I think things will calm down a little. And then you'll probably... That's when major season hits in April. So your switch is going to go off probably sooner than later.
Yeah, I've been home for a while. This is long, you know. I've been buying green bananas and everything. I've been home for so long. But yeah,
I couldn't wait for those.
Things will change. We'll flop rules.
I could wait for those. I like that. How was your week? Now, you were down. We're going to get into this a little bit because on today's show, man, we're coming out of the gates hot here on Golf Talk Canada in the season. Last week, we have Sergio, Taylor, and Scott. This week, we have Brant Snedeker and Adam Hadwin. Like, we're just... Home runs every
That's
week
it.
Here.
Lots
big
of big
stars,
interviews.
Big Steve selects.
Right here at Golf Talk Canada. Yeah, I was down briefly with Prelude to the Honda Classic, and we had a little chance to chat with some guys who were at an event for RBC. And quick interviews, but they're good. And plays underway at the Honda. Some interesting names atop the leaderboard there.
And the Toronto Golf Show this week. You were out there yesterday?
I was. Good-looking show. Busy. Lots of people in the aisles. Lots of our friends down there, lots of people asking where you were.
Yeah, I'm going to
I think I saw his picture on the milk carton. I don't know where he is.
I'm going to try to get out there tomorrow. The show goes tomorrow, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the International Center in Mississauga. I'm going to try to get out there tomorrow. Wheels just on the ground, so the honey to-do list is a little deeper than normal. But I want to get out there and see some of our friends out there. And Mark McLean, I know from Golf PEI, is out there as well.
Had a chance to chat with him, and they have a great thing at the PEI booth. They have a guy shucking oysters.
And he's seeing a big hockey game tonight, correct?
He's going to see the Habs and the Leafs. Yeah,
so, Mark, if you're listening this morning, enjoy the Leaf and Hab game tonight. And I hope you're cheering for the right side, my friend. That's all I'm going to say. We've got a busy show. We got Brant Snedeker. We've got Adam Hadwin. We got Joseph McLucky from Moto Caddy and Stuart Golf popping by. Great little educational piece on, you know, we got a new sponsor on this. We have some new sponsors here with St. Kitts and some different people trying to get involved and wanting to get involved with Golf Tech Canada, which is fantastic. But Joseph's story with Moto Caddy and Stuart Golf is an interesting one because I couldn't believe, Bob, and we'll get into this in the interview, but over 50% of the golf population in Europe uses a motorized walking vehicle of some kind, like
really?
A pole cart or something like that. And it's so interesting because when Doc and I travel in Europe, I automatically grab the caddy.
Yeah.
He automatically goes straight to the Stuart Golf or the Moto Caddy or the unit that he throws his bag on, and he pretty much uses it exclusively all week. He just walks with it. They have Bluetooth models. They have remote control models. They have ones that you just press and go kind of things. They have anything you want, but they're everywhere over there.
Amazing.
People own them. People rent them. Clubs have programs with them.
Wow.
And we are so far behind in North America on this particular, I guess, golf lifestyle choice, so to speak. And I'd like to see it spread here because I want people walking.
It's the perfect hybrid between having a caddy, having an electric cart, and walking and carrying your bag. You know, to me, it's the best way to play. I have an old one that my dad gave me. And that I throw my clubs on there, and you walk around. You can walk, but you don't have to carry. That's
okay, we're going to get some new ones this year, and you and I are going to go out, and we're going to use them, and we're going to see some numbers on the back end. Because, you know, I'm always fat, tired, and old at the end, right? So Joseph is suggesting I'm going to feel better after the 14th hole or so. So we'll talk to him. We've got winners, weird and what. Jason Fulbert from the Golfers Academy. That'll be from the floor of the golf show in Mississauga. We got tons to get to. Let's get to news and headlines.
News and headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
I like that new disco beat, the back end of our news and headlines there. It's just
excellent stuff.
It's very
Studio 54.
It's very 70s. Yes. Well, surprise, surprise, Bob. You know, this is rare. Tiger in the news.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't ever talk Tiger. This is a Tiger for the wrong reasons, though. You know what? Let's play the audio, and then I'll get your thoughts on this. Okay, so Pat Perez has a show on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio with Michael Collins, who is the ESPN writer. And this was earlier this week. Pat Perez, I think a little unfiltered and off the cuff. And maybe maybe he would, if he cut, I wonder if Collins caught him off guard on this. I got to talk to them. Next time I see them, I got to ask. I'm sure Perez won't talk about it, but I'm sure Michael will. Pat Perez comments on Tiger Woods.
The bottom line is he knows he can't beat anybody. But what he does, he's got this new corporation that he started. So he's got to keep his name relevant to keep the corporation going. So he's going to show up to a few events. He's going to try to play. He's going to show his monster. He's got to go out there and show the monster bag. He's going to show the TaylorMade driver. He's going to get on TV. You know, he's got the Nike clothes. He's got to keep that stuff relevant. But the bottom line is he knows he can't beat anybody. He knows it. I mean, the guy shot 77. That guy can't shoot 77. You know, and then what does he do the next day? Oh, my back's sore. He knows he can't beat anybody. I told you, he's not going to come out and play poorly.
Does he play Augusta?
I don't know.
Because
if he doesn't play Augusta, then it's over. I can tell you that right now. If he does not play Augusta, it's over. Personally, I don't think you'll see him again this year.
Wow.
That's pretty strong.
Personally, I don't think I'll see him again this year. Okay, just your thoughts on Perez's comments and the fact that, you know, should Perez even be saying this? Is it his place? And then part B of that, because I hear a lot now, I've heard a lot of opinions, Bob, saying, well, I don't agree with the way Perez handled it. I don't agree with Perez saying it, but I don't disagree with what he's saying.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, with Tiger right now, there are 1,001 opinions. You got an opinion. You talked about it last time. I've got an opinion. I talked about it. We were last week. And there's nothing right or nothing wrong until Tiger tells you, because he hasn't come out and said, look, it's my head, it's my back, it's both, it's whatever. So I think for one PGA Tour player to call out another PGA Tour player, to me is, I don't know. I mean, I know Pat Perez is kind of a guy who likes to speak his mind. I've had lots of good conversations with Pat. Most of them you can't put on the record. But I don't know. I think this is kind of just going a little bit overboard. Now, he did some backtracking, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's been backpedaling a little bit, saying he just was talking about...
To anyone who will listen.
Yeah, he's just talking about right now in this moment.
Right.
And in that respect, if you do frame it that way, then that does make sense. Now, they apparently traded text messages, and I don't think Tiger was very happy. And, you know, the one thing is guys don't want to be in Tiger's bad books. They really don't on the PGA Tour. And you don't want to upset the Tiger. Just look what happened to Stephen Ames.
Right? Well, yeah, 9-8, right? That's how that goes.
Exactly.
Okay, so I agree with you 1,000% in terms of a player calling out another player. You know, who is Pat Perez to go out there and kind of, you know, get this unfiltered and this opinionated with Tiger, and we don't really know anything, and that's always been Tiger's makeup for the last 20 years. He doesn't tell anybody anything. We are always guessing. Okay, part two of this, though, is I kind of almost, there's a part of me that thinks that maybe that he's not so far offside on this one, Bob, that, you know, this has kind of now been a bit of a trend, and a year ago I said this, and Jamie Rydell said, nah, you know, he's playing for the right reasons, and then he did come back and he played hard, and I said, Jamie, I was wrong, you were right. I said he is playing because he loves to play, and he is playing because he wants to get back, and otherwise he wouldn't put in this kind of work, and da 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 da. And now I'm starting to go back saying, maybe you were right, Mark.
Yeah,
maybe this is just to keep the brand alive.
It's possible that, again, the problem is, we don't know, and Tiger doesn't help his cause. Tiger almost asks for this kind of Pat Perez commentary by not saying anything. We don't know what's going on with Tiger. Give us an update. Tell us at least something. Give us a snippet. And maybe you know, it almost lends more credence to your way of thinking, is that the reason he doesn't want to tell you is because there's not really anything there that's wrong. It's just his game is not good anymore, and it's all in his head.
Tweet us at TSN 1050, at Golf Talk Canada, at Bob Weeks TSN, or at Mark Sacchino. Just give us a tweet. I'm just curious what the listeners are thinking. Is Tiger playing for the wrong reasons? Is it all about the money?
Do you think really he'll be in Augusta?
Yeah, well, that was my last thing to you. Before we continue with news and headlines, two questions. Is he at the Arnold Palmer? Is he at Augusta?
He'll be at Augusta for sure. I think if you even have to go up on a wheelchair on the first hole, sure. I'm not sure about Bay Hill.
That is really unbelievable. How do you go after what we've seen in the last 6 months, or and even longer for that matter, but even since the Hero, which is 4 months ago, 3 months ago, how do you go to Augusta without playing?
Remember the year that he got hit the fire hydrant and went through all that nonsense. Right. He showed up at Augusta having not played.
So. I know. So it's not like he hasn't done it before.
Right.
But that's always been the big problem with Tiger. And one of my opinions is he thinks going to the range and playing at Medalist is the same thing as pegging it up on the PGA Tour. And there is a big difference. Okay. Angel Cabrera, Bob. This is an interesting one. He tried to run over his ex in a van. Did you see this?
Been charged, I think, with some abuse issues down in Argentina. Tina said he was caught. He struck her, then he threatened her, and then he tried to run her down in a van. Only minor injuries.
Thank God.
Nobody was hurt, but they're looking into it right now.
Yeah, that's not a good. And he always. It's weird. You know, you just. Someone's. Well, again, these are charges. We don't really know what's going on here, so I don't want to start. You know.
Yeah, all alleged.
It's all alleged, so we get that. But it's so weird. Like, Angel Cabrera just comes across as. You know, like this laid-back, cigar-smoking, beer-drinking kind of guy out there, just never seen a practice range in his life, kind of almost like Miguel and Al Jimenez, only without the wine.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Trade beer for wine for beer. This story really caught me off guard. And quickly here before we go to break, big Canadian news attached to the U.S. Open. This is wicked.
Yeah, so the USJ is going to hold a U.S. Open qualifier, local stage. That's the very first stage. There's 115 of these. One of them will be in Canada. It's going to be at Beacon Hall on May 8th. If you want to get in, you have to have an index of 1.4 or less or be a professional.
You know what? I'm going to do this. Just to do it.
Going to go
just,
and play?
Yeah, but just to say I went and played. I got no chance. I'm going to shoot like 90, right?
Yeah.
But to say that... I went and participated in the first ever U.S. Open qualifier on Canadian soil. What a cool experience would be.
And some guys have made it. Like Mackenzie Hughes made it to the U.S. Open at Marion going through local. And then if you get through, you go to sectional, obviously. Orville Moody and I think Ken Venturi, the only two guys to win the Open going through both stages. So it's a long shot, but hey, it's like my dad says, if you don't have a ticket, you can't win the lottery.
Yeah, well, I'm not worried about next stage. I'm worried about walking 18 holes to be good at all is what I'm worried about. I'm doing this more in a ceremonial capacity.
I got
excuse me. Joseph, fire me a Stewart golf or a moto caddy. I got to walk 18 in U.S. Open qualifier. All right, on the other side. Speaking of U.S. Open qualifiers, we know Brent Snedeker will be there. Maybe Adam Hadwin will be there, too, this year at the U.S. Open. Bob had a chance to catch up with them down at the Bear Trap and PGA National for the Honda Classic. We spent some time down there earlier this week. We'll hear from Sneds and Hadwin next. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. So I'm on the USGA website here. I can't find the You Suck button, Bob.
That's the category you were going to enter
under? Yeah, I was going to register under, you know, You Have No Shot. This ceremonial lap, I believe it's called. But I have yet to find it, so we're going to continue to look for this. This is very exciting radio. Mark Sacchino registers
for the U.S.
to
Open.
Shoot 81.
Don't say anything. Just say you're registering for the U.S. Open.
That's it. I'm registering for the U.S. Open. That's on live national radio.
See you at Erin Hills.
That's it.
Unfortunately, you'll be behind a microphone.
That's right. I'll be with you going, do we have a .ca yet? Or should I go to the first tee? All right, Bob. Tell us a little bit about your week down in Palm Beach, because I know you were busy. You were busy. Bob.
Yeah, we went down Sunday night. RBC was hosting a big event with some of their players and some of their clients, and so they brought in a number of the top players. Adam Hadwin, David Hearn, Ryan Palmer, Gray McDowell, and Brant Snedeker. And I managed to sneak in a few words with a couple of them. And first up was Brant Snedeker, or is it Adam Hadwin? Who we got first? Okay, we'll have Brant Snedeker. We'll have Brant Snedeker first. Very short interview, but interesting to talk to him about just about the ups and downs of being a PGA Tour player, the East Coast versus the West Coast, and here's some of his thoughts on where he is right now with his game.
Here it is.
All right, Brant Snedeker, here we are in Florida. You've made the West Coast swing, and we're over here in the Florida side. Give me a little summary of your year so far.
You know, it's been some good and some bad. You know, I've had a couple chances in the last group at Torrey and Pebble. Played really, really good to get there. Didn't play great on Sunday. So, you know, good West Coast in that aspect. Had a couple chances to win, just wasn't able to pull it out. So, go to Florida and, you know, game's in great shape. Ball striking wise, get some putts to go in, but they will. And I'm excited about the year. It's going to be a big year, I think.
I guess that's the nature of golf, though, up and down. You just got to kind of ride it. You're used to that now. How difficult is it to deal with that as a young player coming up, to deal with the fact that you can't play good every week?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to have a long view in golf. You know, you're only as good as your last shot. You know, so it's hard to realize that, you know, it's the course of the year. It's all going to even out. The course of a career, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. So you got to be, you know, willing to handle the lows as good as you handle the highs. And I think the guys that have been successful out here for a long time and understand that are the guys that realize that the lows are not going to be there for very long. The highs aren't going to be there for as long either. So you got to be able to kind of ride it out. You know, you just got to be able to kind of build on that and kind of realize you have a tough framework to deal with, tough mentally framework to be able to bounce back from those kind of things.
You were mentioning to me earlier about the enjoyment of practice, how it kind of wanes as you get a little bit older too. It's not as much fun, but it's necessary, isn't it?
It is. It totally is. You know, I mean, I don't want to say that I don't love practicing. It's just the one thing I think that people don't realize how much time you've put in to be able to compete on Sundays. And so one thing, when you get older and start to hurt a little bit more, you get young kids at home, it's hard to be out there for 8 hours, you know, practicing and getting ready, but you know you have to. And I think it's the one thing most guys will say that when they get done with their career, they won't miss is the hours on the range and the time you have to spend practicing to get ready for those Thursday through Sundays when you do have a chance.
All righty, everybody, welcome to the
Brant, thanks very much for your time. Good luck the rest of the week.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
We had to cut that one a little short just because they were being called to the carts.
Yes, I heard that cart call. You know, it's funny. Sneds is a guy that if we go back, what, 6-7 years, I would have pegged having one more. He's such a great player. But he did have those injuries, those nagging rib injuries. They were reoccurring, if you recall.
Right.
And I don't know how you feel, but the loss at Augusta in 10 or – I think it was 10 or 11, that one's a stung bad for Sneds.
We've talked about that, and he's in the past, and he said, you know, it really did beat him up, but he's over it. But I think it took him a while to realize that really what that shows is that he has a game that could compete at Augusta. So I think you draw the positive out of it, but it certainly did eat him up. I mean, he was in tears coming off that golf course. But I think the one thing, if you look statistically anyway, the one thing that where it's his game has never been quite as good as it was a few years ago is his putting. I mean, he's a great putter, but he was ranked 4th. I think this year so far he's ranked 90th. To be that different in that stat, key stat for him, I think shows where his game is. And yet he still had chances to win 2 tournaments this year.
Yeah, currently 42nd on the FedEx Cup points list. Last year he won in that horrific day at Torrey Pines beat everybody by 6-7 shots
that
day.
Incredible round. It real quick, just interesting. One of the things I asked him and Graham McDowell, I said, you know, Glen Abbey looks like it's going to stick around for a bit. Some point.
Yeah.
I said, you know, do you like Glen Abbey? And Brant Snedeker said, yeah, I love it, of course, because he won there.
He won there.
He said, it's a great golf course, good challenge, built well for an exciting finish. And then I said, what about you, Graham? And he said, you know, I think when they finally decide they're going to close it down, he said, I hope they'll bring me up to have the first shovel, put the first shovel in the ground, because he just does not like it at all. He has not been able to figure it out.
There's two opinions differing there. All right. You also spoke to Adam Hadwin, who's already made Canadian golf history and PGA Tour history
with
this year.
With your call?
50. Yes, thank you. With 59, he's played well. He's been knocking on the door quite a bit, as a lot of our Canadians have this year. Graham Dillette playing again this week. Nick Taylor played well a couple weeks ago with the top 10. Obviously, Mackenzie Hughes with the win. So far, a good start to the season for Team Canada on the PGA Tour. Here's Mr. Bob Weeks with Adam Hadwin.
All right, Adam Hadwin, here we are in Florida, and I know you're not necessarily a Bermuda kind of guy. We were just chatting about that, but it's nice to be able to be to play out here and play in the sun. You got a few events coming up, but you got a couple of weeks off right now after what's been a really good start to the season for you.
Yeah, it's been a tremendous start. You know, obviously I played well in the fall too and really carried all that momentum over, got off to a great start in Palm Springs, had some really good things happen, and you know, it just seems to be even when I don't feel the best out there or feel like I don't have my best stuff, I'm able to scrap it out. I can bring rounds back. You know, at Riv, I was 4 over through 4 in my third round, was able to scratch out a 1 under par, and I feel like I've done a much better job of that this year. It's just when I'm not feeling that great, I'm just able to kind of hang around, and I'm not moving too far down the leaderboards.
Only one missed cut so far this year. You told me at Napa earlier this year that if you could hit just one or two more greens around, that would be awesome. Is that kind of where you are now?
Yeah, you know what, and that's honestly still the mindset. I've still been struggling ball striking wise a little bit, so you know, still focused on hitting it a little bit more solid, more consistently. You know, but I saw some progress at Riv, started hitting the driver a little bit better. Wasn't as far offline, much more solid throughout the week. So continue that into this couple weeks off and work on it and practice a little bit and kind of come up firing again for Tampa.
The 59, of course, is front and center for everybody still. A few weeks from now removed, what do you reflect back on?
Yeah, you know, it was just a tremendous day. Pretty incredible to kind of go through that, knowing exactly what I needed to do, when I needed to do it, and to be able to pull it off was pretty special. And you know, I think the biggest thing is it, you know, it gave my name a bit more recognition. You know, I talked to my fiance, and even her walking through the crowds and stuff, you know, people now know who I am a little bit more. I want it to be for major championships and for wins on the PGA Tour, but at least it's there for now. And it's just a matter of, you know, keep playing good golf and keep it in people's minds.
And the last thing, before I let you go, you do have your nuptials coming up.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting to that's got to change your perspective on the world, doesn't it?
No, 100%. It's very exciting. You know, I'm probably not as excited, or I don't show it outwardly as much as she does, but I'm very excited and take this next step in life, and we'll see where this takes us.
All right. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Bob.
Life's good if you're Adam Hadwin. 59, could prove that you could do it under pressure when he needed to, like he suggested in that interview, and things settling in off the golf course happy.
Yeah, and a real truth 59, right? A 13 under 59, yeah. Which was a great one. I think he's really improved those, you know, those 50th place finishes that are now 35th place finishes, and that doesn't sound like a big difference, but if your worst is now up that much, boy, it makes a difference on your paycheck, and makes a difference in your confidence level, I think. I think we'll see him win before the end of the year.
I do too, Bob. I've got my eye on that. I agree with you 1,000%. All right, coming up next, the president of JPSM Golf, which is the distributor of Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf, the leading motorized golf carts in Canada, actually in the world. He's going to join us next is Joseph McLucky. If you're out there and you like to walk, but you like to save your back, you like to have energy, you like to feel better at the end of the round, you're looking for some exercise and doing it the right way where it won't affect your golf game, you're going to want to hear about these products coming up next here. So we'll speak to Joseph McLucky next on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Mark Zucchino alongside Bob Weeks in studio and now welcoming to the program. First of all, thanking him for his support of Golf Talk Canada. New sponsor, Joseph McLucky, joining us now from JPSM Sales and Marketing. And you'll know them really as the Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf distributors in Canada. Joseph, thank you for the support. And before we get into the product and quality of the product and the different choices consumers have, I love the story behind your product, and I think we should start there. So first of all, welcome to Golf Talk Canada.
Great, Mark. Nice to be with you. Nice to join. I've been a listener of the show for a couple of years, listener and watcher. So when we were looking to grow our business and who we could partner with, it was just a natural fit. So we're excited to be with you.
So it's interesting because on Golf Talk Canada, we always get excited when we get to partner with someone, you know, that is part of the golf community, because someone especially has a great story. Like, we do this all the time with TaylorMade, for instance. You know, they always have a great story in it, and the content's good, and our listeners and our viewers love it. And I think this is a great story that needs to be told. And I think it starts on how your product works overseas. Anybody who's ever traveled overseas to play golf, they, you know, they see caddies, they see walkers. There's no golf carts. It's just a healthier, better way to play the game. What's the difference in Europe in terms of percentage of people who use a motorized golf cart of some kind to enjoy their walking experience on a golf course?
I think if we took the UK and Europe as an average, it's over 50%. So 50% of golfers who play golf using a motorized walking trolley. In Canada, that number is about 8%. In the States, it's about 3%. So, and we have this discussion with people, and quite often people will actually imply that we're not being forthright, or we have alternative facts, as may be the case today. But it all the data comes from a pace of play study that the RNA did a few years ago, and the data is there. So what's the biggest difference? Is it culture? What is it? Well, the first thing we know about the UK and Europe is to get a riding cart, in most cases, you need a doctor's certificate. So people will show up at the old course or whatever thinking they're going to get a cart, and there's no cart. They may have six carts, and they're all reserved. So that's the biggest thing. But the other thing is that in Europe and the UK, courses are designed to be walked. You know, my home in Naples, Florida, I can't walk the golf course. So what percentage of golf courses get eliminated because you can't walk them? So it's is it culture, is it psychology, or is it just how courses are built?
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because that's the modern day golf course, right? The 400-yard drive after a green to the tee, and it's a shame, and it's certainly a cultural thing. And obviously a lot of the older courses in Europe, you never thought in a million years we'd be driving a golf course. But I think the attitude is that walking is an integral part of the game everywhere in the world outside of North America. And I'd like to see that culture grow in North America, because there's a ton of benefits. It's not just because of history. It's not just because of integrity of the sport. It's better for your health. And shockingly, people will be surprised when we tell them this. It's better for your pace of play. You know, driving in a golf cart and parking and beside somebody else's ball all day while you're waiting for them to play, as opposed to four players going directly to their ball, also helps in a pace of play issue. So it's a health benefit factor. It's a pace of play factor. And you're usually in the game more as well.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I always, and I, it always riles its head when I head to Florida in the winter and the first few rounds, and you know, you're maybe a bit rusty, you haven't played for a month or 5 weeks, and you hit a bad shot, and the next thing you know, you're on top of it already. Whereas when you're walking, you hit the bad shot, or you didn't hit it where you wanted to, and you walk up and you get the course under your feet. You get a feel for, you get into your rhythm, you get warmed up, because you're obviously, you know, you're doing some aerobic exercise. So there's so many parts of it where, you know, you really get into the feel of the round and the feel of your game. But how do you convey that to people? It's, you have to experience it.
Is there any data or anything that suggests your product saving people shots down the stretch to walk? Because I'll give you an example. I'm 42 now in a few weeks. I used to carry my bag many years ago. My carrying days are long gone. It kills my back. I find myself around the 13th, 14th hole sucking wind now. Not knowing a ton about your product, but look, on the outside looking in, and from what I do know, I think to myself, well, you know, coming down the stretch, I love to walk, but your product seems like it might be saving me some good swings down the stretch. My body's not going to hurt as much. I might have a little bit more in the tank left using a motorized cart of some kind, you know, helping my walk just be an easier walk in the park, so to speak.
There are studies. There was a study in the UK that showed that 3 to 5 shots per round, again, because they have such high you know, usership, if it's such a word, of the product. One of the things that we see is we used to, one of the comments I got 11 years ago when we started this is people would go, well, I'm too young for one of those. And I'd go, well, what do you mean? Well, I'm too young to use one of those. Now, if you looked at the history of the product, some of them looked a little bit geriatric. But now with design technology, they're cool looking. So then you just start asking questions. Well, why are you too young? You mean you're too young to play better? Well, what do you mean? Well, when do you tend to waste shots? Towards the end of the round when you're physically tired or you're mentally tired. So, I just got fitted for a whole new, bag of clubs, and I'm going to pay $650 for a driver. But is that driver really going to save me shots? But I can sell someone an entry-level moto caddy for $1,000, and I can guarantee you that it'll save them shots, because at the end of the round, when they're tired, they're not going to be tired. They're going to have more energy physically and mentally. So, and all you do, and the feedback we get from consumers who buy our product is, why didn't I do this years ago?
We're with Joseph McLuckie. He's the president of JPSM Golf Sales, distributing Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf. Let's talk a little bit about the product. So we've got a product here. We know people, walking's good for them. It's good for pace of play. It's good for their health. It gets them into the round. So if you're a walker, which I know a lot of our listeners are, people do love to walk, especially people who are members of private clubs, especially maybe they have the opportunity to keep a product like yours at a club. For the public golfer, I know I have a great friend that travels with a product similar to yours that he bought many years ago and tries to, keep it in his trunk all the time. You've got something for everybody, and they've gotten so much better over the years that you walked me through some of the product when we first met. I couldn't believe how mobile some of your product is and some of the so-called Cadillacs that you also sell. I was blown away by some of the custom paint jobs on the higher end stuff. So give our audience an idea of what it takes to, get into the marketplace with something that maybe is mobile, and then what top of the food chain might look like.
It's pretty simple. We draw analogies to put a frame of reference for customers, like the car business. We have, if it was a Toyota, we have a Corolla. If it was a Honda, we have an Accord or the Fit or whatever it is. And we can go all the way, and we jump from the high end, at the entry level category, and then we jump up to whether it's an Acura or it's a Lexus, and then we go up to the Aston Martin. So for the person who's just looking, that they don't want to carry, they don't want to push, they just want to put their bag on a cart and push the button and go, we have an entry level cart. We only sell carts now with lithium batteries. The days of lead acid are gone. It was just a fail point. They're not great for the environment. They're not reliable. So you can get into the category for $1,000. Then you want to start going up, and you want something with some downhill control and a parking brake. And then you want something that will measure your drive, and it has a lost ball timer. And then you want to go into a remote cart that has a remote and manual function. So we've just covered, the Moto Caddy products. Then you jump into the Stewarts, which is like the Aston Martin, and it's pretty slick looking. And, you can get into that for $2,500, and then you can go to one that will follow you around the golf course. You push a button, put the remote on your back pocket, and it will follow you around the golf course. So what we always do, whether it's dealing directly with the consumer or our CPGA professionals or, with Golf Town, we try and qualify wants and needs. What best suits? Is there a budget? Is it aspirational? And we can get someone into the cart that's going to best suit their needs. But we also say, well, are you the type of person that you'll buy something and then wish you got a little more technology? So it's no different than buying a car. And we use the analogy all the time. Storage, they fold up, they're compact, they're easy, versus, a few years ago they were like Sherman tanks, and there was nuts, and there was this, and there was that. They're all compact, they fold up easily. A lot of them come with bags you can put them in to keep your trunk clean. So we offer a lot of options.
There are a ton of options. I highly suggest you check out the product. Talk to your golf professional as well. Go to jpsmgolf.com. That's jpsmgolf.com to check out the product line. We're going to talk to Joseph a few few times throughout the year and do some of our own studies and take a look. I'm going to use the product and see what it does for me as well later on in my rounds. And we're going to stay on top of what I hope is a really great story that gets people out walking more and takes another excuse away from them from buying a golf cart and driving around as opposed to getting some exercise. So, Joseph, thanks for, again, supporting Golf Talk Canada, and I hope we can get people out there walking and using the product. We'll keep pushing these stories and keep asking people to turn golf back into a sport. It is a sport, right?
Absolutely. And walking's part of it, and that's how you enjoy the golf course, is getting it under your feet, and we want to help people do that.
On the other side, leaderboard updates from around the world of golf. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Where did the West Coast swing go? I can't believe it's gone. We're Florida swing, kicking off at the Honda Classic PGA National, the Bear Trap. Top of the leaderboard there, Ryan Palmer and Wesley Bryan at 9-under par. It's just a matter of time before Wesley. I'm going to look so smart this year, Bob. I picked Mackenzie Hughes as the first Canadian to win. Bang. I said Wesley Bryan is going to win in his rookie campaign. I got a feeling this is going to happen soon. He's playing really well.
He's playing really, really well, and he's proving that he's more than just a trick shot artist. But I think it's interesting that he's made that transition from being known as a trick shot artist to now a potential PGA Tour winner. Certainly played well the last couple of weeks.
And here he has a chance to win again. Arnaud Van Lahiri, 2 back. Ricky Fowler, only 1 back. But, of course, lots of golf to go there. Now, of course, I also pick Rory McIlroy to win the Masters and Phil Mickelson to win.
You only talk about the good stuff.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. I even suggested that Phil would not only win, but it would come on the West Coast swing. So far, that one not looking so good. So, what about the LPGA Tour?
LPGA Tour is in Thailand. They're having a little bit of weather issues there. The Honda LPGA Thailand Classic. And right now, Amy Yang has a four-shot lead. They are halfway through the third round. They got called on darkness. They basically missed all of the second round, so they tried to play catch-up yesterday, which is really today or tomorrow. I can't forget exactly. But anyway, Amy Yang is at 17 under. So Yun Ru is at 13 under and chasing. And the Canadians, not such a great performance so far. Just 2 in the field. Brooke Henderson has gone 75-70. She is through 15 holes of her third round at 1 under par. So she's at even par right now in a tie for 44th. And Elena Sharp is at 3 over. She's through. She played all 3 of her rounds. So she'll be lying in bed sleeping, no doubt, while the other players are finishing up. And she is at 3 over, tied for 55th. This is a limited field event. There's only 70, so there's no cut here. So they're both going to get a check.
Everybody gets a check.
And then move on to the next week.
Now, speaking of checks, I should let you know that all 3 Canadians made the cut at the Honda Classic, and Graham Dillette only 3 off the lead. So Dillette has a chance to strike here with 36 holes to go. He's at 6 under. Mackenzie Hughes and David Hurt made the cut, but they're well back at even par. But all 3 Canadians getting a paycheck. European Tour Joburg Open, they're also fighting bad weather. They've reduced to 54 holes, so they're going to try to get this in tomorrow.
Sunday.
Their Sunday.
Right.
Which will be our Saturday night wee hour of the morning. Paul Warning has the lead with Darren Fischert. They're at 11 under par. Of course, the European Tour now starting to look like, I don't want to say it, but the B Tour. Because when the Florida swing hits,
right,
if you're a top-end if you're a top-end European Tour star, you are pegging it up now in the U.S. to get ready for Augusta National.
Now, not to discount that comment there, we do have a Canadian in the field. Will Bateman is playing. He's at 5 under par, and he's back in 62nd spot. So good for Will for playing over there. And, of course, Austin Connolly played well last week in that crazy event down in Perth, Australia.
Yeah, that was a crazy event, but very cool. I wish I had not have been on the ground for Genesis that week because I lost track of a couple of cool things. I didn't get to see any of that.
Yeah.
I didn't get to follow any of that, but I saw that Austin Connolly did well, which is great.
Yeah, so basically they played three rounds of stroke play, qualified 24 players, of which Austin Connolly was one, and then it went into six-hole matches, and Connolly made it through his first match and then lost in the second one. Brett Rumford ended up winning it all, but cool format, different, shake it up, make a change.
Very cool. All right, that does it for us on our National Hour. 30 more minutes coming up in Hamilton, Toronto, other selected markets, and of course online for those of you listening around the globe. Golf Talk Canada will be back with more. We'll talk a little Toronto Golf Show. It's happening out of the International Center in Mississauga today and tomorrow. Bob was out there yesterday, did the lap. Jason Fobert from the Golfers Academy will be with us. Winners, Weird, and What coming up next. Also, Golf Talk Canada television returns March 22nd, our debut episode of Golf Talk Canada TV. So that I'm excited to get back get that going again because we'll be really close to Masters time.
That's right.
So there'll be lots going on.
We
so
have look, to actually wear some decent clothes as opposed to the jeans and sweats.
Yes, I wore my muumuu this morning into the studio. So we'll be back in the studio for Golf Talk Canada Television March 22nd. GolfTalkCanada.ca getting a facelift. It'll be up and going in time for the new TV season, as well as our YouTube channel. Lots going on. I'm exhausted already. Does that count for anything?
Nope, no sympathy.
All right, Bob, Winners, Weirder next coming up. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zucchino Weeks for the extra bonus 30. Hamilton 1150, Toronto 1050, other select markets, of course, online. Toronto Golf Show going this week. We will talk a little golf show in the next segment out of the International Center of Mississauga with Jason Fobert from the Golfers Academy.
Door opens 1 hour from now.
1 hour from now, and they're having a long drive contest there at the Golfers Academy booth out there, so we'll get into that. You have a chance to win a driver. I was in San Diego this week. I forgot to mention to you, Bob, that I really like the new product. I got fit and for the new M1, M2 series.
Yes.
And I thought I was going to be like M1 all the way, and I am most of the way, but they put me in an M2 driver this year. I was getting more ball speed. I'm getting older, slower, but longer. How does that happen?
You'll need it for your U.S. Open qualifier.
That's right. Buy your game. Buy it. Your game. And, of course, that'll be coming up also on Golf Talk Canada TV. All right. Winners, Weird, and What? Bob, the tee is yours.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
All
Look,
right.
It went further than your ball!
I forgot that part at the end. Oh, my gosh, I always forget that part. My winner this week is a strange one, and we don't usually call this group the winner. The R&A, the Royal and Ancient. They have made an interesting move, which I think is good. They are going to enforce or allow, I should say, ready golf in the opening qualifying, stroke play qualifying of the British Amateur, which is great. Finally, just go out there and hit it. Go out, have some fun. It used to be that you had to play as the rules dictated, which is in order, the furthest away from the hole. But they're saying if you can speed up play by using ready golf, then we want you to do it. And it's a bit of a test for them. But they will have a 36-hole qualifier, stroke play qualifier, that'll be played this year in just ready golf. So good for the R&A for taking that initiative. It's only about 40 years late.
Rory Sabatini rule.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But they're going to do that. And hopefully when they come out with the new rules of golf, that'll be in there. My weird this week is something that a lot of people can relate to, at least in the first part. So Sydney Leah is a Canadian gal. She is studying at Queen's University of Charlotte, not Queen's University in Kingston, but this is a university in the States. She's on a golf scholarship. She was coming home to visit her folks, and she brought her golf clubs with her. Now, she lives in Timmins, Ontario. So I'm assuming she got through to Toronto, and then they told her that her clubs were too heavy to go on the small plane that she was going on, but they'd be on the next flight. Well, her clubs weren't on the next flight. And she couldn't find them. And Air Canada couldn't find them. However, somebody did find them. You know where they were? On Kijiji for sale for $1,000.
Oh, my.
So there's been an investigation to kind of find out what's going on here. Where do these clubs, how do they make it from the Air Canada backstages onto the Kijiji website where they were being offered up for $1,000? And
Brutal.
Air Canada has some questions to answer for that one.
Uh-huh. We're not satisfied till you're not satisfied.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. She ended up having to go out and buy new clubs because in the interim she lost. I guess it took so long to figure out where they were. So
yeah.
She's out a few dollars, which hopefully they're going to recoup somehow.
I've been using ship sticks a lot, just throwing it out there.
There you go.
You know exactly where they're going. They've got the border thing handled now. Used to use ship sticks and they could sit at Canadian Customs or U.S. Customs for a week. They've got that ironed out. You know,
not a bad way.
Yeah.
You don't have to lug them through the airport either,
yep.
Right? And if you can get, maybe you can hide yourself in the bag, like on the TV commercial. Isn't that a terrible ad?
Yes.
I have no idea. What's with that woman in the jumpsuit?
Well, who walks around the house in the red jumpsuit with the cleavage hanging out, right?
Yeah,
you see this spot? It's unbelievable. What are they selling there?
Yeah.
Like what?
I want to see what the guy looks like who's in the bag. Anyway.
Well, I guess some guys are just happy regardless.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. My what this week took place at the tournament you were covering last week at the Genesis Open. Thomas Peters. Now, last year at the Ryder Cup, Thomas Peters was playing against Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka hit a ball into the crowd, and it landed on top of a guy's backpack. And it ended up being Thomas Peters' father. What are the odds of that?
Saw that. Right? Yeah, remember that.
Well, if you think those are long odds, Thomas Peters tees off in the second round, or he's tied for second actually at the end of the day.
Yes, played well.
Right. But he was playing in the Saturday round. He hits a shot that goes into the crowd and hits this lady in the back. Square in the back. What are the odds that it's his girlfriend?
Like, I saw that. And I like, if you're anybody related at all to Thomas, do not follow him on
the golf. Exactly. That's you just don't want to be there. So
that is weird and what, right?
That
there.
Is. All right, Mark, the tee is yours.
Thank you, Bob.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, my winner this week is the guy in the bag on the ship sticks. For all the wrong reasons. Now, my winner this week is Ryan Palmer. He is sitting on top of the leaderboard, tied through 36 holes at 9 under with Wesley Bryan. But just his story in the last 16 to 18 months. He lost his father a year and a half ago. His wife has been battling cancer. He took a leave from the game and now has just returned recently to the professional game. He also, through this period, went through a putting yip. And still, we don't know if he's completely even over the hurdle with that, using a new putter, new putting style. So lots going on off the golf course for what is one of the really nice guys out there, as you know, Bob.
If you don't know this guy, you get a chance to meet him, take it. This guy is so much fun. He is a great guy. He was at this event I was at Monday telling me all about his 8-year-old son who's an avid hockey player. And in Dallas, that's not necessarily a normal thing,
right.
but he's apparently really good too. So just a wonderful guy and great to see him top the leaderboard.
So, you know, looking for him to hopefully do well this week. It's a good news story. He's a great guy, and it'd be nice for them to be able to celebrate something well overdue. All right, my weird this week is a good weird. It's weird to watch the greatest players in the world crumble. And you know, at some point Sunday afternoon, when we're watching the Honda Classic, someone who's supposed to be elite at what they do is going to hit the bear trap on the back nine at PGA National. And they're going to, the PGA, especially if the wind gets up, Bob, a PGA Tour event is going to turn into a NASCAR race because there will be multiple car crashes at 15 and 16 and 17. And it is just, I like it. It's fun to watch, but it's also weird sometimes to watch unfold. Remember Adam Scott a couple years back.
We were talking on our Bump and Run podcast this week, Jamie Rydell and I, about the best three-hole stretch that's, you know, got a name. Mm-hmm. Like there's the Snake Pit and the Bear Trap mm-hmm. and Amen Corner.
Totally.
And this one we sort of said, is the best because it comes right at the end, right? I mean, it's basically right down to the stretch, and it's hard.
You know what's so funny is the best three-hole stretch, maybe in all of championship golf, doesn't have a name. 16, 17, and 18 at TPC Sawgrass might be the best finish in golf, and it's nameless.
We were talking about at Glen Abbey, 16, 17, and 18 should have a name.
It should have a name.
A lot of stuff has happened over there.
Well, when you're the new CEO of Golf Canada, that's number one for you. That'll be announced April 1st, by the way.
The Golden Horseshoe.
The Golden Horseshoe. Done.
There you go.
There it is. See, he's already a major success. Already he's done more for the game. Unbelievable how that happens. All right, by what this week? What is the PGA Tour and European Tour potentially getting their toe in the water? You know, especially on the PGA Tour side, Bob, they're a conservative organization. I work for them. I know this. One bird in hand is better than a potential thousand in the bush.
Right.
Okay? Like, it's just, they are so conservative when it comes to certain things. You saw some of the decisions they've made recently with the relationship at Doral with President Trump, which at the time was a candidate. They didn't realize that they thought they were going to have President Clinton.
Right.
And now on the European Tour, we're seeing Keith Pelley, who's been pushing the envelope already. These people may be getting into bed with gambling, fantasy leagues, and changing, I guess, their comfort level on people laying action. NFL has built a religion on Sundays around the line and money that people drop. PGA Tour and European Tour changing their attitudes towards these things. And a lot of it, as you and I were talking off air, reasons for golf fans to engage on Thursday and Friday, which has always been a challenge.
Yeah, and for the first time ever, Will Wilcox, who's a young player, has signed a deal with DraftKings. This is kind of what spurred some of this on. And that never, I mean, they used to be so dead against that you couldn't have a logo. Now, he can't have a logo on his chest. He can't have a logo on the bag or anything. And they can't even term it as an endorsement. But that's the first bit of the door opening. And I could see it making a lot of sense if you could go on DraftKings or one of those places and say, okay, who's going to win between Adam Hadwin and Graeme Dillette today on a Thursday?
Right.
You're going to watch a little bit more.
Right. All of a sudden you're engaged, right? Yep. It's the same reason why someone sitting in Buffalo, New York might care about a Dolphins-Jaguars game.
Right? Exactly.
That same model. All right. We're going to head to the International Center in Mississauga next. The Toronto Golf Show. Doors open at 10 a.m., it goes to 6 p.m. The Golfers Academy is there. Jason Fobert, they're having a long drive contest today. It is the West End's premium practice and playing center. We're going to get to them next. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Centre in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
In roughly 45 minutes from now, the doors open to the Toronto Golf Show, International Centre in Mississauga. Doors will remain open till 6 p.m. Of course, they'll go again tomorrow. I'm going to head out there tomorrow and check it out. It's a great show. And it always means that the golf season is around the corner. Geez, Bob, they were playing this week in Toronto. I know they were out on Thursday and Friday.
16 degrees, I think, or 17 degrees, depending on where you were on Thursday.
Absolutely insane. However, if you're a real golf nut and you're a true enthusiast, the season never ends. It's 12 months, and the premium location in the West End of the city is the Golfers Academy, whether you're playing, practicing, etc. The Golfers Academy is there, and they're at the Toronto Golf Show this week. In fact, they're having a long drive contest, I believe, this weekend as well. Joining us now, Jason Fobert. Jason, thank you for taking the time to join Bob and I. Jason, let's start there. Let us in a little bit on how the show's been, but also this long drive contest. How do people get involved?
Well, the show's been really good. Lots of turnout here for the last, the first day we just had. It was really busy. The long drive competition, we're hosting it on behalf of Metroland Media. And it's been a real good turnout so far. So guys can just stop by our booth, men and women and juniors. We have three divisions. And they can win a driver. And it's basically, it's the $5 donation for two balls and $10 for six balls. And it's more like grip it and rip it type thing.
That's a fun way to get involved with the weekend.
Yeah. So being a full indoor training center, we helped out the golf show. What we do is we're bringing out our TrackMan unit. So, and we all know in the industry what TrackMan does. It's one of the best systems out there for training on and getting accurate data and numbers.
Now, you talk a little bit about dual radar accuracy and it mm-hmm. being the gold standard. What is it and why is it the gold standard?
Well, dual radar tracking and with TrackMan itself. TrackMan is used by all of the pros on the PGA Tour, web.com. I mean, all your major players use it. One, for accuracy, and two, for the name. The dual radar is two radars. One will be tracking a lot of the ball flight for full flights as well as all your short flights. As we know in the industry, a lot of systems out there, camera-based technology, infrared technology, does not track ball spin and ball flight accurately indoors. And TrackMan has done a huge amount of work with this dual radar technology. And including on that now is they've just come out at the PGA show in Orlando with now a performance putting system where we use the same TrackMan that we use on the range now on our putting greens.
Interesting stuff that when you get a chance to get yourself onto one of those TrackMans, there's all sorts of great data that you can get. The whole simulator situation has really changed over the years, hasn't it? I mean, it used to be that you'd go out and you'd go out to a facility and play one of the courses that they had on there, but it could be a real training tool now, can it? You guys use that for training as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're first and foremost known as an indoor training center. But with the work that TrackMan's done in the simulator business, they've linked with a company called TrueGolf E6 Software. TrackMan data is now being sent into the simulator software. So you're actually getting the best of both worlds. You get our training side of it through TPS, which is TrackMan Performance. And then you've got the simulator system with the same data that TrackMan feeds into TrueGolf. So you're playing 93 courses, but you're still getting accurate data. And that's a huge benefit for us. I've been in the business for over 12 years and watched in the 12 years these systems and indoor golf practice facilities go from what we've been known as entertainment centers to now being known as full training centers.
So, Jason, if someone wants to come and find out more about league play, the technology itself, wants to take lessons, wants you maybe just even to take a look at what they're currently doing as a tune-up for the spring, they can come see you at what booth at the show tomorrow?
Well, definitely we're at the Long Drive booth at the show. We are, you know, we have the tracking system here. It's showing all the data. They want to talk to us about our leagues, talk to us about lessons, club fitting. We're Callaway Club Fitting Center, getting fit for putters now. I mean, there's so much stuff that we can do for everybody. And, you know, come visit us at the Long Drive booth at the golf show.
Jason, I'll come visit tomorrow. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the opportunity.
Website is thegolfersacademy.com, thegolfersacademy.com. And, of course, you can see them at the Toronto Golf Show at the International Center. And I'm going to head out there today, tomorrow, but I'm going to go tomorrow. I've got a full day, so I'm going to go shoot out in the morning.
I actually saw a really smart person out there yesterday. So you know how they have a lot of draws where you can, you know, you fill in a coupon or whatever, and you put your name in the draw, and you can win various things.
Yes.
So someone took one of those inkjet stamps. They just stamped all
everything
the entry forms
as they go,
as opposed to having to write anything out. So if you're going out there, bring your little return address stamp, and you can enter a lot of different things. But go by and see our friends at PEI. They have the oysters.
I'm going to head out tomorrow. Right there. See Mr. McLean at his booth, and stick my head out and just say hello to some people and do a lap. Next week, I'm back on the road. On the road again.
Are you really?
Yeah, I got the Mexico Championship next week, but I refuse to go to Mexico City, so they gave me the studio gig in Washington.
Oh boy.
So I'll be in the studios in Washington, part of the hosting/analyst role.
There's some irony there that the fact that you're in Washington and the tournament's in Mexico, and there's Mexico, Washington, Trump, wall,
I know, hilarious. But I said to them, I said, unless you're giving me full-time, like, Beyonce security, I'm not going to Mexico City. So that was it. So that kind of ended that trip. So anyway, I'll be there. You'll be here.
Yep.
Then I'm back in. And then I go to Arnold Palmer, and then we're both in Augusta, more than likely, and then we kind of go from there. So it's a busy, busy season on Golf Talk Canada. Remember, Golf Talk Canada TV returns March 22nd. Looking forward to that. Before we go today, Bob, just a couple of minutes left. I got to tell you, so I went to the Kingdom to shoot the...
Which is the tailor-made training fitting facility.
The reason this reminded me again is we just had the, you know, Speaking Golfers Academy. Like, I always learn something new about my equipment and my swing, something swing related to every time I go through the process. And I would say, like, even if you're not in the market for new equipment, or even if you're just in the market for a piece, like a addition to the bag this year, if you haven't been in a couple of years, go through a fitting process, get tuned up, like get on a system, whether it's TrackMan, and take a look at some numbers, because you always find something, and I don't think enough people do it. I think they think, oh, it's just for the pros, or it's just for somebody who's going to go out and, you know, drop 2 G's on a brand new set. No, it's great to find out, maybe to either reinforce things that you think are going on,
right,
or to change misconceptions. For me, it was something I thought was going on. I always have this stock swing that I go to when things are bad that I know I can find the fairway with, okay? It's like this loopy, Furyk, Sergio thing.
Did you ever think about using that, like, all the time?
Well, here's the thing. I always hit it dead straight with it, but I know I'm hitting it shorter, or I believe I'm hitting it a lot shorter. So I got on the system, and I said, listen, I think this thing's going on. Sure enough, we hit a dozen balls that way. Sure enough, my dispersion pattern is extremely tight. I'm hitting exactly where I'm looking, but it's 15 yards shorter all day.
Wow,
so I said, what I thought, but he goes, hey, that's something great to have
sure,
because it's a go-to swing, which, you know, I don't think I've ever had. So I got that going for me.
That's
which
good.
Is nice. So anyway.
Bring that one out for the U.S. Open qualifier.
So we figured it out. Registration for the U.S. Open qualifier at Beacon Hall opens March 1st. So if you are interested in qualifying for the U.S. Open, the first time ever on Canadian soil, at Beacon Hall, the qualifying opens March 1st, you want to come out, do a ceremonial lap with me, shoot something around, you know, 78, 82, tip your hat, couple shooting guns and thumbs up to the crowd. Bob could follow me like an old school writer in the 50s with the pencil in the ear and the fedora. You know, I think this is what's going to go down. Bob, thanks so much. Fun as always, man.
Always good.
Good time to see you in person.
Yes, exactly.
We're back next week. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.